From Clay Lane Freshwater to Commercial Road Newport. Broadcasting to inform, entertain and inspire across online platforms. FM 104.6, Hospedia Channel 5 and now on DAB. This is the multi-award winning Vectis Radio.
And now in the studio we've got the one and only, the leader of the Isle of Wight Council. Is Jonathan Bacon. Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm still getting used to that. Yes, hello. I'm very well, thank you.
Well, normally you come in on a Thursday and you're known as Hair Bear and we talk about vinyls, but this time it's pretty serious because it's obviously council-related.
Absolutely. Different hat.
So how are you? How are you settling in?
Settling in, yes. I think we're pretty much past the settling in stage and it's now the getting on with it stage.
Okay.
So it's been a slightly, quite a hectic couple of months to get to. It is almost 2 months now. So, but settled in, I think, and jobs to do.
I know I might have asked this before, but for the sake of our listeners, because I have heard this a few times and I thought, well, let's hear it from the horse's mouth. We had 19 reformed councillors. How did we end up with you? And I don't mean that in a nasty way, because I think you're a safe pair of hands. But how did we end up with you as council leader? Bearing in mind that your deputy was reform, or is reform. So how did we end up with you and not a reform?
I'm not very good at blowing my own trumpet, but I think the safe pair of hands argument is what you might want to ask them, actually. But I think that's what they'd say. I'm probably one of the most experienced councillors. Only a couple more who've been there longer than I have. I've done the leadership job before, although in very different circumstances with a very different setup. And I also would like to think that, you know, my interests are the island and trying to do the best for the island. And the feeling in the council at the moment, I'm sure we'll talk about this more, is very much that is our focus now. We seem to have... And I know this surprises people when I say it, but we seem to have got round the politics a lot more than we did in the last couple of years, and people are focusing on what we actually should be doing and need to do rather than the bickering, which was just soul-destroying in the last council.
No, absolutely. I get the safe pair of hands. I just wanted to hear it from you, because I think lots of people have asked that question. Other people may need to hear that from you as well, but you're right, we should ask them as well. And when you say about experience, when you know that 19 of those councillors that got elected as reform, only two or three were actually councillors before, and only for a very short space of time in some cases.
Only one.
So that sort of says everything you need to know. And we all know, and this isn't me having a go at the Tories, they were completely obliterated generally on the island, weren't they? I mean,
yes.
So there would have been a few experienced candidates that possibly could have put their name forward, but they didn't get elected. So, you know, that's and I say I'm not antagonising them. It's just a fact. That's where we are. So I'm quite happy that you're there, because you've done the job before. How long ago? Council leader?
Nearly 10 years ago.
So nearly 10 years ago. Now, yeah. Something
almost
else.
Almost exactly 10 years ago, in fact.
Something else that really offends me on your behalf over the last X amount of years, when people say, oh yeah, but last time he walked off the job. You had a good reason to walk off the job.
I don't really like to go back over that these days now. There was a good reason on the face of it, but there was also a lot of personal stuff going on at the time. And that combined with the very fraught politics we had at that particular moment, the situation we were in with an extremely split council and people swapping sides and changing from day to day almost, meant that for me it wasn't a tenable situation, but there was an awful lot of personal stuff in the background as well.
Okay, I'm not going to push you on it, but
no,
it wasn't
I don't think it's necessary to talk about it. I was quite public about it in the past when I sought re-election in 2021, and I know some people won't be interested in that and will just use that mantra that certain members of the Conservative Party did trot out for a few years, the failed council leader, the failed council leader, which for me was personally hurtful, and it was quite damaging, actually.
Unkind, unnecessary.
Unkind, unnecessary. But I think that we can draw a line now, I hope.
Coming back to the 10-year thing, you were then leader 10 years ago, and now here you are now. how does it differ? What sort of issues, how big are the problems this time around compared to what they were 10 years? I mean, regardless of you know, personalities now, you know, 10 years ago, let's focus on the council itself, the finances, and you know, what the council has to do.
The problems are probably more acute now in terms of finances. We've still not had essentially had our ask to government for fair funding, proper funding, properly answered. Certainly the last settlement that we had last December, which was claimed to be beneficial to us, was not, and was damaging. So from that perspective, yeah, the problems are more acute. I don't think you can completely ignore the personality, the councillor side of things, because that is part of the picture. Your ability to deal with the situation depends on the body of people who are there and their attitude to it. And this sort of goes back to the answer as to why I'm sitting here as leader now. I think we have a very different overall attitude in the council. We've for years had, let's work together, let's put aside differences. And frankly, a lot of the time it was absolute tosh and just window dressing for a lot of inappropriate activity, backstabbing, whatever you want to call it, in the background. What we have now is a much more unified council. I think if you speak to senior officers, you get that. People who are watching council meetings now are finding there's a different atmosphere, and that means that I think we have a better chance of addressing our difficulties. And frankly, I wouldn't be doing the job if I didn't think that was the case. I wouldn't have, you know, when people approached me and said, why not you? One of my stipulations, as it were, I certainly, despite what certain people wanted to do in playing politics, said, oh, the deal's been done and so on. Absolute. So I was nearly going to use a rude word there. Absolute rubbish, absolute trash. What I said was, if we can work together, if we can put the island first, then I will do it. If that is breached, then I don't want to be trying to lead a council like the last council was.
Yeah, no, that makes absolute sense. It really does. And you know, I think brave thing to do. Would you call it brave, or, you know, it duty?
I personally wouldn't. I would think if people think I can lead this this body and try and make sense of the situation we're in, maybe duty is a word for it, but it's not brave. It's a job that has to be done, and if I'm deemed to be the best person to do it, I'll do it.
Okay, thank you for that, and thank you for being honest as well. We're going to take a break, we're going to come back, we're going to talk about the plan that you have for the future, and I also want to talk about schools, and also yeah, sorry, and also the other big one as well, adult social care as well, so, and a few other bits and bobs too. So come back. He's gone. No,
I'm still here.
Okay, so we're going to come up with some Carly Simon, something to just relax you, and then we'll be back. Carly Simon, the right thing to do. It's 12:26, Wednesday lunchtime. We've got in the studio the leader of the Isle of Wight Council, Jonathan Bacon, and we've found out why he was elected, even though there was 19 reforms, which is good. He's a safe pair of hands. And
I like the fact that, I was just looking at your choice on the playlist here, you picked the right thing to do. The other song you could have picked was I Missed Again. So thank you for that. Just looking at what's coming up next. Don't look back.
Hey, look, let's get serious. Let's talk. I know you might not want to talk about it. It's an awkward, it's a prickly conversation. Schools.
Yeah, well, we've got a different situation now in the council. Again, one of those things that's making things different and means this is a very different job that I'm doing to what I was doing 10 years ago is the change in the way the councillors organise and run themselves. We have a thing called a committee system now. So instead of a cabinet where a group of councillors from one party or group are entrusted with all the decisions, make those decisions in a cabinet meeting. We now have committees, so there are five main committees, and they are the decision makers. As leader now, I actually have very little decision making power. It is more of a leadership guiding role. So when it comes to education issues and issues to do with schools, we have a children's services committee, and that committee, under the guidance of its chair, will be the ones that are considering how the school's issue is taken forward. I know they've had one meeting already. Unfortunately, I was elsewhere. I was unable to attend. And the issues have been discussed, and they're looking at the way forward. And I think we need to look at the next meetings of that committee in September to decide how that committee, which is a cross-party committee, representatives from across the council, are choosing to take things forward. So it's not my decision now. Very much I was absolutely central to the taking things forward before, and I was doing what I thought was right at the time. There are some changes in the rules and the systems now. There is certainly still a problem with our excess places we have in schools, but there's a lot more in the mix now, and it's going to be for that committee to, in public, fill it that, discuss it, and come up with a way forward.
How much control? You mentioned that you don't have so much control because there's a committee in. How much control do we have as an island? Because I would imagine, you know, a lot of it is governed by central government. They tell you what to do.
If you're talking generally,
yeah.
We have a good amount of control. It's probably more the processes and systems we operate within that guide or restrict us. The one that comes up every year is how much you can raise council tax by. That is a government set rule. You can go up by 5%, 4.99%, no more. And so part of our budgetary issue that has grown over the years is because central government has placed restrictions on how we raise money. And when there is increasing cost, but your ability to actually raise the funds to address that and receive funds to address that, it inherently creates a problem. So sometimes it's more the processes and overarching rules from central government that are our constraint and our unfortunate constraint.
So I would imagine when you talk to most parents, most young people, there's certain things that they need to address in schools. Some people will be concerned, parents especially, and students too. There's been talk of school closures.
Yep.
Nothing has been decided as yet.
No.
But there's been talk of school closures, and you know, me and my little brain says, well, you know, there's less people going to school, so that's probably sensible to look at it, at least. And more importantly, you've got 700 plus students that are homeschooled. So that's like, if you look at it logically, that's a whole high school's worth of kids. So how do we address that problem? It doesn't say much, sadly, for the school situation on the island. I mean, I know that's not the whole picture.
Well, our problem is a declining population, or a very changed population, I should say. I suppose overall the population is increasing, but our demographic is a much reduced birth rate, and therefore there are fewer children in the system. And where the system is funded on the basis of per head funding, so per pupil, so automatically is one pupil less means one chunk of money less. That is a national problem. That's one of those examples of where we have a national rule, national system that is seriously inhibiting the island. At the other end of the scale, we have a very increased older population, and that is having a massive impact on our costs, because our adult social care budget is phenomenal. It's way in excess of anything else the council spends on.
See, I believe the two are connected. I've said this to numerous people in the last couple of years, and sometimes I get some blank looks, sometimes people get it. If we're focusing on the young people and we get that right, they're less likely to need assistance or be a problem when they get to adulthood, which would reduce the adult social care bill.
Well, yes, and just healthy living as well, generally. So it's very much... The approach we should be taking is prevention, not cure.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously, the cure is necessary, but if you, as has happened over the years, a lot of funding has been taken away from certain things that could have been regarded as preventative. I mean, if we're talking about youth problems, a lot of that, some would trace to the reduction and ending of youth clubs, youth provision. And by doing that, taking away opportunities, creating more time for misbehaviour, if you like, you then actually create a bigger problem at the other end of the scale. Whereas if you had, and this is a particular thing I want to see the council doing over the next few years, is creating those opportunities and understanding of opportunities for young people. I think part of the reason we have a skewed demographic is because partly people don't realise what's out there, but also partly those opportunities don't exist on the island. People leave the island and then they don't come back.
No.
And if we worked much more on supporting our older, younger people, if you see what I mean, so young adults, we would, I think, improve our economy, improve their life chances, and, as you say, potentially start... long-term plan, but addressing those problems we have at the other end of the scale. But we have to be, so we're going quite around the houses with this, but we have to be sensible and actually look at what is needed to deal with the issues we have. And one of those bugbears we've always had on the island is housing. If we haven't got houses for young people that they can afford and are suitable, that's going to be another thing, even if they've got a job here, but I can't find anywhere to live. And again, that's part of the mix. It's looking at addressing some of those underlying issues that long-term, if not addressed, will give us problems, very costly problems at the other end of the scale.
So going back to the 700 people that are now homeschooled, yeah. I mean, we know that those numbers have been climbing for a number of years.
Yeah.
Is that like looks upon now as being the norm now and we should build for that? Or are we trying to get them back into school?
There will always be an element of homeschooling anywhere in any system. And that's absolutely fine, right and proper. There'll be some people who, for whatever personal reasons, do not think that they will do homeschooling. Our problem is those that are in the system, the homeschooling system, or out of the system, I should say, who are there because they feel they haven't got an alternative. And that is a problem with the schools and their ability to support children as much as they should do. I mean, a lot of this comes back to special educational needs provision and the fact that we have failings there. We're not unique. We seem to have a particular problem on the island, but we're not unique. And a lot of people who are in that homeschooled, home educated bracket are because they just feel the schools cannot serve them. What we should have with schools is schools that are as inclusive as possible. And able to provide an education in the classroom, in the same classroom, to as many children with as many different levels of ability and issues, if they have issues, as possible. And when that doesn't happen, which is very often down to funding, staff, if nothing else, numbers of staff, then you start to create those problems and you get people excluding themselves, parents taking children out because the school is not able to, even with the best will in the world, the school's not able to provide what a child needs. And you get the sort of situation we have at the moment.
Must be very difficult to then plan for how many schools, how many people are in the schools, if people are... 'cause they're not all coming out of school and staying out of school. Some are floating out and floating back in again, and so on. So it's going to be a really hard thing to sort of pin down how many schools that we actually need for these young people. I'm guessing you've got numbers of all of the kids on the Isle of Wight that should be having some kind of education.
You would have to ask the education professionals this. I'm sure that in the system, when the numbers are crunched, a certain amount of homeschooling is assumed, because you will always have that. I wouldn't like to guess at what the sort of natural figure would be. It'd certainly be nowhere near the figure we've got at the moment. It'd probably be more like maybe 100, 200. I don't know. Please don't hold that one against me. But things like that will be factored in. But it still leaves a system where, fundamentally, due to the low birth rate we have on the island, there are fewer pupils coming through the system. And that shows no signs of changing. It will fluctuate, it will change, but again, when the figures are done, you build that in. But certainly when I was looking into that issue and trying to deal with it, there was still a base level that showed there was an absolute problem. And as I say, when you have a system that is based, its funding is based on how many children there are in the system, if there aren't enough children, you've got an issue.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, it makes common sense. I mean, when I was at school, when I was at Medina, they had 330-odd kids per year. I doubt they've got that now. I doubt that they used to have the same sort of numbers at Carisbrook and so on. A lot more people around, a lot less kids now. So that is that you have to factor that in. When can we see, when I'm guessing people are working on it as we speak, so when will it become known to people that things are changing, if they do at all?
So you need to speak to the committee chairman about that. I believe we will be next getting an update and potentially news September, October.
Okay.
There's a lot of work going on between now and then, though.
Look, I really want to get to the plan that you've got for the next couple of years. So we're going to do that in part three. We're going to go into a break with this question, and hopefully you can answer this fairly quickly so we can go into that break. We've just got a new Prime Minister. How will that affect the Isle of Wight, if it does at all?
We wait to see. I've already written to him because we have some particular issues we want him to address, not least the ferries. And, you know, he has spoken on connectivity. He's also a very great supporter of combined authorities, and we've just entered into membership and started up our local combined authority with Hampshire, Portsmouth and Southampton. So we've got some things to draw him in. So he will be having... If he hasn't had it already, he'll have a letter from me and our MPs raising some of those particular issues that we'd like him to address, and hopefully he'll come and see us.
Great. And just tell him you're an Everton fan. He'll lap that up and he'll want to come down and visit.
That's
sure.
Football, isn't it? Yeah. I don't do football. You know I don't do football.
Well, look, it's 20 to 1. We're going to take a break. We're coming back with Sandy Shaw and the big plan. Right, that's Sandy Shaw. Now go and put your shoes on. Long live love on Vectis Radio. That's what we need, a bit more love in the world. I'll tell you for why. We've got Jonathan Bacon in, council leader.
Connect those two.
Yeah, we need a lot more love. And I'll tell you what, I'm a big fan of Andy Burnham is trying to achieve. And one of the things that I saw the other day, you know, and we're lucky, I don't think we've got a massive amount of rough sleepers here on the Isle of Wight, but you might be able to tell me in a minute. But I look at it and I think, you've got all the opposition saying, yeah, but it's gone downhill in the last year. All the media saying, yeah, it's gone down. And you think to yourself, hang on a minute, this is a guy that wants to crush something that's horrible.
Yeah.
What they should be asking is, great, how can we help? There's none of that. They want him to fail. That's what that is all about. So they can rubbish him, whether you're on a conservative side, the Liberal Dems, Reform, whatever. They want him to fail. And you just think, that is what is wrong with politics today. They want you to fail because you've got a colour.
And if that's the change he could bring about, which I think is what he's talking about in some of those initial speeches... Please, yeah, because that's what we've certainly had on the island politically for a long time. And as I was saying before, I think there's a feeling at the moment, it's still very early days, still the proof of the pudding, etc. There's a feeling that there's actually now a wish to work together to solve problems rather than just the attitude that was so often there before. What if we're not in charge? We're going to spoil things for you. We're going to disrupt. We're going to undermine.
I mean, it's something that was said recently. Well, I say recently, probably about 10 years ago. Dave Stewart, one of the things that he said was publicly, I'm not here to support, I'm here to oppose. And I'm thinking, but what happens if there's nothing to oppose and somebody's doing a good job? You're still going to moan about it. Who suffers?
But you, with that mindset, you get opposition for the sake of it. As I say, it's if we're not in charge, we're going to disrupt everything until we are in charge, and then we're not going to listen to you. And as I say, that has been a very damaging mindset that has been prevalent for far too long, certainly on the island and elsewhere. And where does it get us? Did the last council really achieve that much? There were a few good things, but overall, it was a lot of infighting and running to stand still.
Bottom line is, who suffers? The people that elected you. They suffer because people can't get on. And
whether they elected us or not, the entire population, because if it means that you're running a system where essential services are not being supported, are struggling, children's services, adult social care, which are the main blocks of work the council does, which people do sometimes forget, they're often hidden services. But if the council's not working well, that can often rebound on those essential hidden services. And whether people elected you or not, it's not the issue. It's the residents out there who, and particularly those who rely on the council, for whom the council is an essential part of their ability to survive day to day. They're the ones that that will end up suffering, and shouldn't.
Absolutely right. Now, look, you've got a plan.
We're developing a plan.
Right, so developing a plan.
Part of this new approach of committee system is very interesting. This was a big piece of work yesterday. Again, instead of a small group of councillors from one group coming up with something, we had representatives from across the entire council sitting in the council chamber discussing what our priorities should be. And a lot, you know, so we did a lot of work on that, a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts. This is really just the strategic lead that will define those particular operational actions that we concentrate most on. But what should we be looking at doing? You know, creating opportunities for youth, ensuring that we survive financially, because without that nothing else happens. Looking at all those key strategic points, an interesting one that came up actually, taking a slight curve, improve understanding of what the council does and what it can't do. Because if we had that, because there's a lot of people who assume the council does everything, controls everything, ruins things, if there were a greater, I hesitate to use the word appreciation, but knowledge.
Understanding, definitely.
Understanding, knowledge of what the council does, what it can't do, and where the bounds of responsibility lie between the council and individuals. I think that would help in people appreciating why what we do and why we don't do certain things, because there is generally, and this sort of feeds back into what you were saying about political comments earlier, there's far too much of a readiness to attack the council. Now, I would say that, wouldn't I? I'm the leader. I don't want to be attacked. Of course, I will be attacked if I do things wrong, if we make mistakes. That's what the responsibility I have. But we should be having that where it's appropriate and necessary and right, not just as the standby default position. It's the council. It must be wrong. How do we attack it? So that was an interesting one that came up yesterday. But the answer
education.
To the
question. It's education, Jonathan. I honestly believe that there, if there was one criticism of the council that I have, and it's only one, and I do see a lot of what
only
they do.
One.
It's only one.
I'm
honestly.
Sure you've had two.
No, I couldn't even stretch to two. It's people that are making decisions come out and talk to us. Come into that through that door and talk to us. Come in and tell us. You're one of just a few. There are a few others that have come in over the years, but there's not enough of that communication. And I've always believed
but
that
sometimes that's because people will think, I don't want to go there because I will have things thrown at me. I'll be shot at.
I know that there's a
media approach that does. It's a very circular thing because
that's not us though.
I know it's not you, but people just group things together. They say the media, this massive globular thing that's all one thing. And there are elements there that are just there to create the clickbait, create this thing that people can have a rant
right.
on Facebook about. It's not right, but it does mean
it
that
puts that's, people off.
It puts people off. It puts people off from coming and actually saying, no, well, I do want to stand as a councillor. A lot of people are put off from that and... Well, there are other hideous things that have happened recently that are perhaps indicative of the failings in the system there. But yeah, if we desperately need, and this is probably quite utopian thinking, we need a reset on attitudes and understanding. You used that word. I don't know how that will go down if that gets into be a part of the plan, but we need it. We
definitely.
Need it.
Definitely. I mean, there's so many things we could sit here and talk about the communication side of things, but that's the most important thing for me, is when somebody makes a decision, come out, talk about it, own it, let us know. By not doing
and
that...
And the deal should be that to people, at least hear us.
Yes. And
listen, give us a
you.
Chance to explain it. Don't, as soon as a politician opens their mouth, and again, this is maybe a Burnham thing. Maybe he will do some good work here. Don't say, la, 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 heard it all before, not interested.
Yeah.
You're rubbish, you're the council. It's all down to backhanders. All these usual things that come out and are so
I know there's so
tired.
Many positive things about the council. There's so many positive people that are working hard that don't get the credit they deserve. All they get is a bit of a knock-in. And that's not right, and it isn't right, and it isn't fair, and it's not helpful. It doesn't. The morale at times, if you are being knocked so many times, is not going to be good, and those people might not be doing the best that they can because you've knocked them too many times. Mm. We need to build them up, we need to help them, we need to make sure that they feel like they've done a good job. When they do a good job, we say, they've done a good job, leave them alone.
Yeah, I mean, if people... try and think about it. If your boss tells you you're rubbish every day, how much effort are you going
exactly,
to put in?
Exactly. I've got loads of questions. One question that has come up, a lot of people have sort of said they've heard the rumours that, you know, what happens if we go to a certain level with funds that the central government have to come in and take over. How true, how realistic is that?
We're not in a good situation financially, but we're not unique in that. There's probably about 35, 36 councils around the country that are in a similar position to us. We are taking steps to look at that. We've just started the thing called... do you know your brain goes to sleep? It's that improvement board, the improvement board. And that is involving some very senior people from around the country, experts in particular fields, to come and look at the council, do a deep dive and see, is there actually waste there? Are there things that we're not doing, you know, not just setting budget and saying we'll spend on this, we'll spend on that, but more fundamental reviews of the day-to-day activity of the council processes and so on. So we're putting in the work we've been advised to do. We're not going to go bankrupt just like that. This work needs to be done. This work could be very positive. We will obviously keep on with the need to get government to identify our particular unique situation, the fact that being an island costs more. That work will never cease until it is properly realised. So It's not great financially, and we're probably facing some very difficult decisions, but I don't see us getting the commissioners in just yet.
Good things are in process. It's good to see you again, and this time as a council leader as well. I'm glad that we're in safe hands, and I mean that, and I really do. I think you're an approachable chap, and I think you've got the island's best interests.
Well, people can always approach me. I'm getting increasingly fed up with Facebook, I must say, because it's just the worst example of all those things we were talking at moment ago. But if people want to speak to me, send me an email and ask to meet. I'll have a discussion.
Thank you. We've got to go to the news now with a song with George Ezra. And we'll see you in a month's time. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Doctor.